Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Although I'm not going to read what comes before and after, I do want to remind you that this lesson that we're about to read, in which Jesus talks about eternal life, is preceded by the story of the synagogue official Nicodemus coming in darkness to see Jesus and to talk with him. And then afterwards, there is the story of the woman at the well who comes at high noon in the blazing sun to talk to Jesus at the well. I'm going to refer to those stories in the sermon, so I want you to kind of have them in mind. Jesus said, in between these two things, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that God gave the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. The children are escaping. Now, I would invite the children to come forward to help proclaim the good news of the gospel today. Thank you very much. All are welcome. Right between the flowers, huh? So, this past week, my wife Valerie and I were on a vacation, and we went out to two places. One, to Las Vegas, where my sonny boy lives, and secondly, to San Diego, where my daughter lives. And we were planning to go out to the ocean and look around and be on the beach and do some things. But while we were there, when we just got there, she got a call on the telephone. And this is what it was about. Do you all know what an animal shelter is? It's where they take care of animals. And the call was to tell our daughter Jean that they had six kitties and they were all going to die unless somebody took them. So what do you think Jean did? She took them. That's right. She rescued these six kitties. And they were in trouble because they had been sick. And the infection kind of went to their eyes, so Jean had to put what in their eyes? Medicine, yes. Every couple of hours, they had to put medicine in their eyes and then had to give antibiotics. And so Valerie and Jean were up in the night taking care of these kitties and rescuing them and saving them. I wanted to tell you that story today because part of what Jesus is about is rescuing people. I mentioned a guy named Nicodemus and a woman at the well. He's rescuing them from the fear of darkness in their hearts. And he's rescuing all of us when we are overwhelmed by fear, our sinfulness, or things that go wrong in our lives. Jesus promises to come to us and rescue us. And guess what else? If you got a call and somebody asked you to rescue, would you do it? Probably, yes. I think Jesus, as we all gather in church, is... If there's something like a pirate? Oh, then you wouldn't, maybe. They're not so good. But kitties we can all rescue, right? How about people? Yes. Jesus has come to rescue us all and to give us the power and the calling to rescue others, to bring them good news of acceptance and care and love. Thank you all for coming forward. Let's say a little prayer. Come on up. Dear God, we give you thanks that you rescue us from danger and that you give us power to care for others, to rescue others when they are in need. We ask your blessing upon these children and all who are gathered here this day. In Jesus' name, I'll say amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming. So as I read, today's statement by Jesus is a statement about eternal life, but I don't think it means quite as much without the stories that are at the beginning, at the end, and then surround this lesson. And the stories that are around are stories of light and darkness. Or rather, we might say, first of all, darkness and then light. You remember the story of Nicodemus. He comes in the dead of night to talk to Jesus, to ask him just where he's come from and what he's about. And Jesus engages him in a conversation about being born again and trying to lead him to understand what it is to have new life. But he doesn't seem to be able to see what is going on. And so he leaves in darkness. After this lesson that we just read, Jesus is traveling around and he's in Samaria. And he's thirsty and he ends up at a well at high noon, when the sun is blazing, and he meets an unnamed woman who encounters Jesus in this spot. So Nicodemus, he's a powerful guy. He's an educated guy. He has authority. You would think, you would assume that he is an enlightened man. As I say, highly educated, a respected leader among the people. He has power. He has authority within his community. Yet he comes to Jesus at night in secret. So the question is, what's he hiding? Perhaps is he hiding himself, what he's all about? What we know is as we read the story, because he's hiding the truth of himself, he fails to see who Jesus is. Jesus tries to lead him in conversation. But Nicodemus is baffled by his conversation with Jesus, who is offering him the possibility of eternal life. Just the opposite happens when Jesus encounters the woman at the well. Again, it's high noon, and that's kind of suggestive that something bright is about to happen. But in many ways, the woman is just the opposite of Nicodemus. You would think that she's somebody who is living in darkness, maybe not always of her own making. She is a Samaritan woman who was, by nature of her nationality or ethnicity, was discriminated against. She was looked down upon, was not accepted by the dominant society. Furthermore, she was a woman in a deeply patriarchal culture. And then there were other issues you may remember in her life, married 5 times, which suggests great tragedy that had occurred, or perhaps some problems of her own doing. At any rate, when Jesus encounters her, in a sense, there really isn't much to hide. It's all pretty much out there in the bright light of high noon. Or maybe better to say that she takes up Jesus' invitation for conversation, for revealing herself, for understanding who he is through his acceptance of her, to reveal more of herself and to trust more of Jesus. So both Nicodemus and the woman at the well are invited into the light of God's love in Christ Jesus through this deeper conversation, through this trust, through this faithfulness, by which Jesus intends for them to see who each of them are and to see who he is as the embodiment of God's love for them. Jesus' encounter with both of them is non-judgmental. And I think that's one of the reasons the woman follows him in the conversation. His invitation is for each, through their encounter with him, to trust and to experience that connection with Jesus and the one who sent him will pull them out of darkness and into the light of life, even eternal life. That whoever believes that Jesus has brought God's welcome, God's invitation, God's forgiveness and love will have eternal life. God's invitation in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh, this conversation that God is having with us through Jesus, comes to both the powerful, Nicodemus, and the excluded, the Samaritan woman. And all folks in between, everyone in between, like us. The real point of experiencing these stories is for us to encounter Jesus in conversation, in invitation to understand who he is, to experience who he is, to confess, to offer, to reveal, to not hide who we are. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to encounter all people with the truth of God's creative and redemptive love. The judgment that occurs comes through the people's action. We see Nicodemus walk away in confusion, and so he is not in eternal life. As the scripture says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light. Nicodemus came in darkness. What he loved was the power and status of his position in life. The darkness of it wasn't that he was an accomplished person, that he was educated, that he got degrees, or that he did good things. But the fact that so much of what he was, so much of his power, his person, was based upon others not being welcome, or his not sharing in power with those who were in need, like the Samaritan woman. Nicodemus' dark deeds were to uphold a kind of institutional hierarchy which discriminated and injured. It seems that he loved this more. That he left in darkness of his own accord was his judgment. He was not in union with Christ Jesus and the one who sent him. And he would not be in union with the rest of the community like the Samaritan woman to whom Jesus also was going. But those who do what is true, the scripture says, comes to the light. In conversation with Jesus, both the Samaritan woman and Jesus revealed the truth of who they were. And so they were in a real connection, a true relationship. A relationship of real life, a foretaste of what eternal life is about. Again, Jesus was not about judging, but he actually took her judgment as being an excluded person, a Samaritan, a woman. He took that upon himself by identifying with her and identifying her as a true child of God. That the judgment was his was evidenced by his own disciples who disparaged him for talking to the Samaritan woman. Why are you talking with her? So, my dear friends in Christ, what's the point? Everything. We are all, aren't we, somewhere along this spectrum of darkness to light, all hiding something, all unwilling to let something go, all overcome perhaps by our fears, our worries that we, as we talked about downstairs, our failures, overcome by ourselves sometimes. But all of us are being invited into conversation with Jesus and the one who sent him. And it's not just for a chat, but into the truth of who we are and what true humanity is, namely connection with the one who created and sent us all through acceptance and forgiveness, a conversation that is enlightened by our own stories, our own encounter with those who hope and long for life, acceptance, and meaning. We are, each of us, you and me, invited to bring our questions, to bring the darkness we hide, the darkness that has been illumined, to be in conversation, perhaps confession, perhaps wrestling with God, to find yourself in conversation with the one who brings life. It seems we are in a world in which there is so little of this, so very little of true conversation that's going on, so few encounters which are meant to draw folks into life and out of the darkness. All we have to do is listen, look. We see we are interminably wrangling about judging one another or being judged. It really is the closest thing to hell that I can think of. All humanity is questioned. Is it all fake? Are we all angry and violent with one another? The only way to maintain the rule of darkness is finally through violence and death. Nicodemus, is clear, had a lot to risk. He had stuff to lose. So in a sense, he had a lot to hide. He comes at night so that he might hide. The woman at the well comes at high noon with nothing to hide. Nicodemus lives in a certain amount of fear. The woman at the well has already experienced everything that she fears. We are, again, all folks along that spectrum in one spot or another, fearful of what might happen or how we might be judged, and living with what already so often has occurred to us. We gather in the hope and trust, and living in these stories, in our own story into which Jesus comes, understanding that Jesus bears the whole of the world's darkness. Nicodemus' protection of his own status and position, as I say again, can finally only be maintained through violence and death. The woman at the well, her darkness becomes Jesus as soon as he accepts her. Both conversations lead to the cross. Both reflect already the cross of Christ. He is both driven and goes willingly, simultaneously, for us. And about them kitties. My daughter Jean has always been a rescuer. It seems that the encounter, as we learn from the children, really is Jesus coming to Nicodemus and inviting him to share his power in order to rescue others. And the story of the woman at the well is the Christ coming through acceptance and forgiveness and empowering her to now be a proclaimer of the gospel, a healer of those who are in need, someone who can bring the good news and draw people out of the darkness. Why do we gather here? For only that reason as well. For Christ to embrace us in forgiveness, to empower us in calling. We too, sisters and brothers, are invited into this conversation, this calling, in Jesus' name. Amen.